Fab Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Will the Tennessee Titans trade the number two pick? Today, Adrian Peterson and the Cardinals should come to some resolution, or we move on, we have all moved on, or maybe we haven't moved on. As we sit here in the middle of NFL draft day, there is a lot swirling around that I find to be very, very interesting. There's an enormous story that is developing in college basketball here on draft day that I've got to get to, involving Billy Donovan leaving Florida and some of the names that are already being mentioned down in Florida about the job of the Gators. It's very interesting to me. Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us from Vegas. We always have Jimmy on, the wisest of the wise guys, on the fight. I'm so caught up in tonight. It's not just the draft. Tonight is Spurs, Clippers, and by far the most entertaining of the playoff series. So there's a lot going on. Jake Plummer is going to be with us as the show moves on today. You'll hear from Brock Huer to Charles Davis, Todd Graham, all sorts of angles around the NFL draft. Brad Sussmat with you. It is a very, very good Thursday. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top, in the beautiful White Mountains, where they have the 18th annual Powwow in the Pines coming up. January 6th and 7th at the Honda Festival Fairgrounds. Great money that could be won there. All sorts of fun and entertainment. It's free admission, open to the public. You can even camp out 3 miles south of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino Powwow in the Pines. And if you're looking for great entertainment, the Timbers Lounge has the Kriegels. Yeah, the tribute to CCR and the Eagles. That's coming up on May 5th through the 9th. The Affinity, which is a variety act at the Timbers Lounge, May 26th through the 30th. Shows are free, starts at 8 o'clock. You've got to be 21. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top, a big part of Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Here's what's on my mind now in the world of sports. So draft day is here, and it's all about Winston and Mariota on the national stage. The debate has been going on back and forth for the last, I'd say even towards the middle of last season. Eric, I'm not fatigued by this because the intrigue has really picked up with all the options. It's a great day for insiders on social media.
It is. It is. Because the first five picks could really go any way. I mean, there could be, you could have your little first five mock draft and it can be completely backwards. Or you might have three of the five. You might have two of the five. You might have five of the five.
Well, and Lovie Smith said today, we feel comfortable who Jameis Winston is. I'm glad you do. I hope you're renting. I hope you don't own down there. I hope all the staff of the Bucks tonight should be holding hands and saying a prayer. Dear Lord, we are going to draft Jameis Winston. Please keep my marriage together because I'm putting my marriage, my kids, my livelihood in the hands of a kid who acted like a dope. Amen.
About putting that pool in the backyard. You may want to hold off.
Hold off, honey. You know, it's Mother's Day next week. I'm not even going to get you a Pandora bracelet. That's not even in the negotiation because we have nothing. We got to save every last dime off all this, Jack. The thought of retiring, not happening. And then you have Marcus Mariota. I watched him last night do the thing with Gruden, and Gruden was getting mad at him because he couldn't shake him up, couldn't rattle him. Nothing wrong with that. But I mentioned social media. So let's go through some of what's out there just in the last few minutes. Charles Robinson, one of the best in the business. Three first-round picks only starts the conversation between the Titans and anybody else. Titans telling teams inquiring about number two, it's going to take a huge value, according to Jay Glazer. Three first-round picks to go get Marcus Mariota. Bob Holtzman, ESPN insider. Titans GM Webster tells me he's talking to three or four teams about the number two pick. Some talks fairly substantial. Wants to stay in the top half of round number one. Is that Cleveland? Is that the team that's moving up? Imagine if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns, all five of you that have managed to sit through all the slop through the years. You're the bright guys that last year took Johnny Manziel and then he goes to rehab. That's your team.
The good news is they got new uniforms. So they have
Absolutely.
That to look forward to in the fall.
And those new uniforms blow when you look at them.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They're the Browns. Good. How can you be creative? Your nickname is a color.
So you're cutting hairs between Winston Bryant and Mariota, Winston and Mariota. It's gone back and forth, back and forth. One of the best in the business who's seen them both play in person, who's analyzed both of them, ESPN college football analyst Brock Heard, who was with me earlier. A year ago, you loved Bridgewater. You just absolutely loved Bridgewater. Do you believe?
I do.
Yeah, and so this. Let's move ahead to this year. Do you love Mariota more than Winston of the two? Which one do you like more?
Yeah. Yeah, I got real. I have some real reservations. Everything that I have heard, I don't know. I've done three or four Mariota games and three or four Winston games, just about the same between the two of them. And, yeah, I take Mariota. I do. I think he's a better decision maker. I know he's a better athlete. I know he's a better human being. I know both of them have incredible mental and physical fortitude and toughness. Jameis is a more natural passer. I don't think there's much debate about that. He's got really good mechanics, but he's got a lot of other, you know, stuff there as far as treating folks and what you've got to do to be a guy to completely build around that. I feel more comfortable with Marcus.
You know, if you take Winston, you have to be renting, right? I mean, you've got to be renting. You don't know for sure what's going to happen on that one. That's how I look at it, at least.
It's true.
That you can't say that whole organization, whoever takes Winston, everybody, right down to the secretaries, has to be renting because you don't know.
Yeah, here's two I words that I have kind of utilized or have talked about through this process, and that is intentional versus impulsive. And a little red flag, or just a little my radar. Just when Jimbo has said that to me about Jameis, he's not a bad kid. He's just impulsive. And I kind of wrote that down on my notes, and I've kind of gone back and looked at my boards, and kind of just studied through some of these things. And when I look at today's NFL quarterbacks, you know what I see? Intentional in every single way. Brady, Breeze, Manning, Luck, Wilson. Go through the list. So you don't find impulsive a real trait or characteristic to build around. And that is so much, I think, of what Jameis' personality as a player, as a person, as a leader. He's just a very impulsive kid.
So do you want to tie everything up in an impulsive kid? Evidently, Tampa Bay does. Ed Werder, ESPN insider, just tweeting out moments ago, in the event that Cleveland Browns acquire Sam Bradford, or another quarterback, I'm told Dallas not interested in trading for Johnny Manziel to replace Brandon Weeden. Very interesting. Would Dallas go that direction after the love affair last year? Is Cleveland looking to dump Johnny Manziel? That wouldn't surprise me a bit. And Philadelphia is the wild card. I'll tell you who's the happiest people on the planet around what's going on in Philadelphia. It's the Philadelphia Phillies and the Philadelphia 76ers, because Chip Kelly has just blown away everything else in Philly sports. He's made it so compelling and so interesting that he's always trying to go get somebody else and move somebody somewhere while the other teams blow. It's great. Now, in terms of the Cardinals and where your Cardinals are today, with Adrian Peterson, to me, seems like the day. There is some stuff blowing around that maybe Minnesota, today's the day, but the price tag's very high on that. And so we should know more tonight. Will this pass and nothing happens? Every insider that I heard over the last few weeks, oh, there's nothing there, nothing there. And then this morning, Adam Schefter says, you know, there's something there, something that Chris Carter, I know what's going on. I can't say what's going on. So there's some stuff from guys who, and I'm not going off just one network. There's guys that I see whose opinions I really respect, and now they're starting to waffle like, today's the day. If you're the Cardinals, are you making a last-minute push? It's a 30-year-old running back. Are you making a last-minute push? This is a crucial day for the Cardinals because I think the window of opportunity is there for them today. I don't know if it's going to be there for them a year from now or 2 years from now. You have a quarterback who's had two major injuries, who's coming off two major injuries. It sounds great. It's what fans want to hear. Oh, he's going to come back. He's going to be. I don't know that. So you have to be able to turn around, hand the football off, and stuck the pig in somebody's gut. We're going to talk about character counting or does it in the next segment. Some other things, though, here that I want to get to. The Diamondbacks finish April with a record of 10-11. I'm pretty happy at 10-11. Yeah, I'm the dope that said to some of you guys that they're going to win 84 games. I don't know. Eric, I'm not that far off, am I? I said they'd be a 500 team.
No. You just need a couple months where they're like two or three games above 500, and you'll be right there.
They haven't. See, I think what it's going to come down to is my guy, who's not my guy. I say that lovingly. I think Addison Reed is either going to come in and finish some games off for me that he should, or he's going to blow a bunch like he did last year. Last night, the last two nights, plenty of offense. Plenty of offense.
It's nice to see, Brad, them have a little bit of a rut, but then end it with a win streak. Because last year, a little rut would turn into like
a cavern.
Losing 8 out of 10 sure. or losing 10 out of 12. This year, they lost, you know, they lost 4 in a row, but they came back and they won 2 in a row. So,
and they may not face Kershaw this weekend in L.A.
That's fine. They already beat him once.
Yeah, well, he's getting better.
I know.
I watched him. But
I know.
So Tomas had 3 RBIs last night. Colemantor was solid last night. I mean, I like Josh Colemantor personally. I like what he's done. I like what he's accomplished. I don't think that he is a front-line starter. He's a 4 or 5. Okay? Last night, they get him plenty of run support. I'm fine with 10 and 11. For some of you that are already sending me notes, do you want to revisit your prediction? Ha, ha, ha. Or you have no clue what you're talking about. I may not. I'm here every day, though. 10 and 11, I'll take that. As mentioned tonight, Clippers at San Antonio. The rest of the playoffs are just noise to me. Like, I tried to sit there last night and watch Memphis and Portland. Other than LaMarcus Aldridge leaving Portland, which he's going to do, nothing really of interest to me on that. Doc Rivers gets fined $25,000 for complaining about officials, and then he says he doesn't complain about officials. Okay, that's all Doc Rivers does is bitch about officiating. And Greg Popovich clearly is the best coach in all of sports. And those of you that are Suns fans hate it when I talk about him so glowingly, but I don't know. Your team's done 0 for 5 years. So don't start whining about San Antonio when you've done nothing. Kevin Love, okay, so Kevin Love is out 4 to 6 months, dislocated shoulder. He can opt out and become a free agent this summer. There's been this belief that Kevin Love somehow, some way is going to appear with the Suns. And I've been one for the last 2 years saying, get Kevin Love here. I would not kick him off my team. But now you have to look at things a little differently. He's out 4 to 6 months after shoulder surgery. The earliest you could possibly see him would be September, earliest. And if you're the Suns and you're going to lay down big jack on him, I still think he goes to Los Angeles. But if you were to be in the ballpark to go chase him, you're better off saying November or December is we're going to try to bring you back here. But you got to put that into account. We'll talk about Mayweather. There's a really, I don't know how to put it, around the Brittany Griner, Gloria Johnson dispute. VH1 wants him on their TV show. I mean, it's kind of fun. But today's all about the draft. On the other side, we're going to go a different direction around the draft. We'll hear from Todd Graham and Bertrand Barry next. We'll go to Jimmy Vaccaro in Vegas in about 15 minutes. Jake Plummer when he gets off a plane in Denver in about 45 minutes. Charles Davis as well. It's a busy NFL draft day. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Get a lot of email about Billy Donovan leaving and Sean Miller to Florida. I don't buy that. We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Look, tonight's all about character. We talked about Jameis Winston earlier. Did you notice, Eric, was it just me last night that Joe's Crab Shack is now buying time and spending money in sporting events just in the last couple of days? Do you think that's a bunch of guys sitting around a boardroom saying, you know, there's going to be a new interest in crab legs?
Yes. Especially today.
Thus, we should try to get our brand out there.
It's not a bad marketing strategy.
Did you see the place in Tampa that's offering free crab legs for life to Jameis Winston?
No, but that's also pretty funny.
I think that's funny. I think it's dumb on their part.
It is.
I think it's old.
I bet they have good crab legs, though, down in Tampa.
Oh, sure they do. No, it's great crab legs down there. Speaking of funny, did you see yesterday? So there was a baseball game yesterday that nobody went to. Not to make fun of the riots, because I'm not going to in Baltimore. It's just abhorrent. But they played yesterday, the Orioles and White Sox had to get these games out of the way. So they played one yesterday with nobody in the stands because of the riots. And this started making its way around social media last night involving Brian Williams. Do we have that? Yeah. So there I was at the Baltimore Orioles game. Of course.
I thought it was funny that the players were running off the field. You know how, like, a first baseman will run off the field and flip the ball into the stands to give to a little kid?
Yeah.
Well, like, the players are doing that and just flipping the ball into the empty stands. And the bullpen catcher was going, running down the baseline in between innings and pretending to sign autographs. And it was, I mean, it shouldn't be, it, of course, this is a serious situation, but at least the players.
We have to have a little bit of levity.
Kind of made light of it.
What are they going to do? You know, what are they going to do? So, like, tonight, the draft, and I bring this up because does the NFL do anything tonight? You know how the NFL is. Whenever there's a big social event, they want to get their way in there somehow. You know, it was like, what was it? When the riots were going on in Ferguson, the St. Louis Rams were involved in the riots. They wanted to work their way in there. The Orioles just want to go play their baseball game and get out of the way. And I think it's, I respect the Ravens players that got in the middle of the riots. I do respect that. Will the NFL tonight do anything during the course of their broadcast to say when the Ravens pick, will there be something along those lines? The draft's in Chicago. I don't know. When we see the draft, there's guys that tip the picks, which I'm fine with. And then there's the NFL Network and ESPN saying they're not going to tip the picks tonight, which I find that very hard to believe. A guy like Ian Rappaport is going to sit there and say, I can't release this.
Stay off Twitter if you want to have some intrigue in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're all about tonight, if you're out with your fellas tonight somewhere and you're watching the draft and you don't want to know the picks, if you don't like the spoiler alert, because the picks usually show up, what, 2 minutes beforehand?
And to answer your previous question, I would bet Roger Goodell would mention something about what's going on in Baltimore County when he does his little mini opening statement before the draft starts. Like, he'll go up there and greet everyone, and then so-and-so, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are on the clock. Welcome to the 2015 NFL Draft. I would guess he says something in there, because that's very NFL-like to do, as you mentioned.
Will we see something from the woman who is suing him legally tomorrow? Will we see it tonight? In my opinion, we will see something because it's the next step. She, along her journey on this, has managed to find times. And I'm really on this one. I'm not down with Jameis Winston. He just feels like he's getting over on everybody. And I know that if you're a Buccaneer fan, you're an NFL fan, I'm raining on your parade, but facts are facts here, guys. He's acted like a dumbass more than once. It's just a fact. Now, we don't know what happened between he and her, but having two daughters, I can't take the side that, well, all these girls are always wrong and they're just looking for money. I can't. So tonight I'm going to look at him and just be like, glad he's not coming to Arizona. You know, I'm willing to forgive and forget, but not once, twice, three, four times where there's always something going on. And the character question is going to be one tonight that will be raised, or at least should be raised. Anybody who's has a pulse here should be noticing that a lot of these first round picks have had things that have happened. And when they say, well, he just made a mistake, I don't know, sexual assault's not just a mistake. This kid, Lowell Collins from LSU, the slaying of his pregnant ex-girlfriend last week, she was shot several times. The infant survived. They want to interview him, but he's not a suspect. So today, the word is, he's going to go from first-round pick to possibly undrafted because you can't even get him involved with your organization. Shane Ray has a small amount of marijuana on him 3 days before the draft. Is that a mistake? Is that just him being flat-out stupid? Is it more than that? Is it a character issue? Randy Gregory, is it a character issue? These guys can all tackle. We saw with Tyrann Mathieu, who battled demons. Is it different when you're battling something and then you're given the opportunity to play? You guys think it's real easy. And I say you guys, I shouldn't say that as a blanket statement, but many of you said, I'm tired of you, Brad, on your soapbox about this. I don't know, if you're running a business, are you going to go spend hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, on somebody who has character problems here? And try to be a rehab league. So that's something to look at. And, you know, to that point of Rush Ends, if I'm the Cardinals and Shane Ray and Randy Gregory are there, here's the thing. I'm not going to rip Steve Keim tomorrow if at number 24 they take help on the defensive line. They have proven to me, at least they've gone out of their way with how they've handled Darrell Washington, how they've handled Tyrann Mathieu, that I think they have a good pulse on the person. You can't just say, handle everybody this way, and I'll be damned if they run into some trouble, and we're not going to touch them. I think the Cardinals have done a pretty darn good job of handling the issue. Here's Bertrand Barry on the rush ends. We're just talking straight football here. Bertrand Barry, one of the best to ever wear a Cardinal uniform earlier with us.
Absolutely. There's no question that they would. And I understand that, you know, you're committed as a as an organization to win ball games first. You know, to win the PR battle, that's all fine and good. And you can work with an individual in that respect. And you can, you know, get them to a point where they sound presentable and they can represent themselves as well as your organization in a great way. But you got to have talent to win in this league. And make no mistake about it, if you have a player of that caliber at your disposal, then I really believe that you take that chance. And you think that the culture that you created in the locker room and in that building can really have an influence on him rather than him influencing that building. So I think if you have, you know, and I'm big on Greg. I really believe he is the difference maker in this draft. If he is available, I think you sprint to that podium and you make that selection, because he's the guy that's going to change your life from a defensive standpoint. And I think Coach Betcher would definitely love to have his hand on one Gregory from Nebraska.
Okay, so you have to remember this too. Randy Moss and Warren Sapp. And Warren Sapp was a dumbass out here during the Super Bowl this last year, and he lost his job over it, and he should have lost his job over it. Randy Moss and Warren Sapp both had marijuana issues leading up to the draft, and their stock fell, and they both ended up being terrific players on the field. I'm one of those that looks at how do they fit in. The character part of it does matter, but there's not a handbook. Not everybody is going to be the right guy when they come into a system. Johnny Manziel fooled a lot of people last year. There's no question about it. Fooled a bunch of people. It was just a flat phony. Ends up in rehab a year later. Imagine you're the guy that says, I'm going to get him to run my franchise. You have to weigh the character part. The issue is, and it's a tough one, there's no question. You can't say, well, you know, Shane Ray had a little bit of marijuana on him. He's a college kid. Did he make a mistake with that? You can't just say, I'm not going to take him because of that. So that will be interesting to me tonight. This is a night where I'll be a guy that's on the NFL Network. I watch the NFL Network. I don't really care much for what ESPN is all about in this day and age. I don't need guys trying to prove to me that I'm bigger than you standing at a urinal. That's all that's turned into. So tonight I'll watch the NFL Network. I'll be on Twitter quite a bit tonight. I probably won't even watch as much as I used to. I'd just be on social media. Let me make my own mind up on some of these things. I think, locally, will Arizona State have two first-round picks? We would not have thought that when we first started getting into the draft. It was going to be just Jalen Strong, and now it's Randall and Strong. Will Randall go before Strong? Eric, do you think Randall goes before Strong?
I think there's
a good chance. You don't think?
No, and I'm just not as big on Randall as everyone else is. I don't know. I'm not an NFL executive, but I watched a lot of ASU games last year, and he has a big problem tackling.
Okay, so why is it he's shot up the charts?
Great cover skills. He can cover. And in a league where they pass the ball 70% of the time,
sure,
you're going to need someone to cover.
But don't you think then that's the reason why he shoots up? Because there aren't any other safeties.
For sure.
This is going to be a wide receiver heavy first round. There's going to be a ton of wide receivers taken tonight. 4 months ago, 5 months ago, I thought that there'd be three quarterbacks taken in the first round. Maybe I was blinded by seeing Brett Hundley all these years. Brett's probably not going to be taken until tomorrow, if not Saturday. In fact, he's not even in Arizona for the draft, from my understanding. Jalen Strong is the one that he's been here a short period of time. The junior college angle for ASU has proved to be very profitable for the NFL. You have these guys that come here, and they're still growing and learning the position, and they're getting drafted high. Here's Todd Graham with me earlier on what are you hearing about Jalen Strong. I asked him where Jalen may go in the first round.
You know, from what I'm hearing from the scouts and talking to him, I figure somewhere, 18 to 30 right in there, you know, is what I'm thinking. Who knows? But I do anticipate that he'll be a first rounder. Obviously, he had a tremendous combine and just his upside. You know, he was only with us, basically a year and a half or right. year and, 10 months. I mean, he's with us two seasons, still had another season to go. So he's a young guy and a guy that's going to really, really, his upside is tremendous. So obviously his size, his speed, his explosiveness. I mean, and obviously he did a great job at the combine. Everybody that I talked to says he's a first rounder.
Do you have teams that have called you that you would say, this team has shown an interest in him? Because fans ask me, and I say, I don't know, and I've not talked to Jalen in a few weeks, but have you heard from any particular teams you'd be willing
there's
to
not, There's not very many teams in the league that have not called me about it, so it'd be an easier way to answer that.
Got it.
You know, most people that, and again, we've got four guys, and all of their stock, one thing that's exciting is Jalen's stock has risen. Demaryius Randle is. I've talked to people. He could be a second or third rounder. Marcus Hardison moved up where he's could be around the third round, and then Jamel Douglas. I project being a third or fourth rounder, from what I've gathered talking to people. So we could have four guys in the top four rounds would be exciting for us, and all their stock has risen, and I think it has a lot to do with the young men that they are, and I think we've prepared them well.
All right, that was Todd Graham with me earlier. On the other side, Mayweather-Pacquiao from Vegas with Jimmy Vaccaro, also Kentucky Derby this weekend. If I'm putting money tonight on Spurs-Clippers, what a terrific matchup that is tonight. And then a little bit later in this half hour, I want to talk about the Florida job tonight, or today rather, coming open in college basketball. Billy Donovan does leave. He has signed. He is gone. Getting some people asking me about Sean Miller. I've got some thoughts on Sean Miller in Florida. That'll come up later on in this half hour. Jake Plummer going to join us live in a few minutes after he gets off a plane in Denver. As we continue on, busy NFL draft day, a lot going on in the world of sports. Sports 360, AZ.com. We are Arizona-centric. Check out our website, sports360AZ.com. We partner with AZ Central Sports. Go live to Vegas now, Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Busy Thursday. We have the draft tonight, the fight on Saturday night, in between the Kentucky Derby on Saturday afternoon. The wisest of the wise guys, nearly four-decade Vegas bookmaker. Always enjoy having Jimmy Vaccaro on the show, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. All right, let's start with the Derby. Are we going to see record numbers around this Derby? How's it trending right now, Jimmy?
Yeah, Brad, we'll see record numbers for two reasons. First of all, the amateurs come out and love to bet Kentucky Derby Day. That's one reason to come out. But remember, the Derby will go around 3:30 our time here in Las Vegas, and the fight starts around 8:30. So with the amount of people that's just going to be wandering around for the 5 hours before the fight starts, it'll definitely pump up the race book only by, the talk of like, geez, Kentucky Derby's coming up, or let me run over and make a small bet. So those figures are released. They're probably be released on Monday or Tuesday. I would think that this will be the highest Kentucky Derby handle we have ever had in the state of Nevada.
Will this be a Super Bowl weekend in terms of dollars?
Yes, not even close. Sometimes the hype doesn't equal the event, but in this case, so far, it's been something I've never witnessed in 40 years of being here in Las Vegas. Yes, the money will rival Super Bowl. Let me explain to the people how this works. Now, the Super Bowl gets released figures from Nevada Gaming Control about 3 days after the event. It's the only event that they really single out and send out numbers for that. Now, remember, in the Super Bowl, we have the game itself. We have over 200 proposition bets. Now, we've taken $115 million on the game was just a few months ago. Now, naturally, we don't have as many props as we do at Super Bowl Sunday. But just the idea of the Seattle straight bets and the Tom Brady straight bets on New England, just the fight itself, Mayweather versus Pacquiao, we should do around $70 million, and that would equal the amount of money bet, not counting the props for Super Bowl. So, yes, this will be a huge event. Plus, it's in town, which even makes it almost as many ticket transactions as we do for the Super Bowl. It's the hugest event I've ever been around, and it's getting crazy already.
Jimmy Vaccaro with the South Point Casino, 40 years of following it in Vegas. He joins Brad Sussmat here for a couple of minutes. All right, one last note on the Derby. American Pharoah, that's the bet right now?
Yeah, it looks like that's going to be the favorite going out, and you know, those things make left-hand turns. But horse people, they can be into that form for 2 months prior to this Derby. But it seems like it's a game of keno once you get there. Betting the favorite here never gets any money. Obviously, the 15 to 20 long shots. Double them up with a trifecta or whatever. That's the only way to make a score. When you're at the top of the stretch and there's 20 of them running down the stretch, I have no idea who's going to win. And trust me, I don't think anybody else does either.
All right, so the fight, you and I have talked through the years. You're not a Mayweather guy.
I wouldn't say I'm not a Mayweather guy. I surely respect, you know, what the kid is and what he does as far as, like, you know, in the boxing ring. He's an absolute first-time Hall of Famer. The questions are bandied around 1,000 times. How would he fit in against Leonard, Duran, Hearn, Tagler? He's right there. I mean, we'll never know because he'll never fight those people. But this kid is so good at what he does. He's never, ever out of shape. Yes, he lives an opulent lifestyle, but, you know, it's his money. He can do what he wants. There was a story just this last week from Tobin Motor Company that's revised all his cars. I think he's bought about 100 cars in the past 18 years, and he just parks them in his driveway. But you must give him his due. He's an unbelievable fighter. You know, in this case, Brad, with all the money that he has and all the money he's going to make, I think finally it just settles in his brain. It's his legacy. He wants more than the money right now. He wants to be 50-0. He wants to beat Marciano's record. He wants to go down as the greatest pound fighter ever. And if he would decisively beat Pacquiao and win the other fight. And obviously, how can you turn down $200 million a fight? But I don't think he fights after if he gets to 50-0, because all he can do is go downhill. All he can do is lose. Sure. He doesn't want to go with one blemish on his record. So, masterful fighter. A little different. He's a little different than most people, but you must give this kid his due. He's an absolute genius in the ring.
Talking with Jimmy Vaccaro, that's why I'm wanting Pacquiao to win, because I think if Pacquiao wins, we see a rematch. If Mayweather wins, I think we're done. And you and I have been around long enough to know the importance of boxing to be relevant, and it hasn't been relevant in a long time. And I don't want this to be a one blip and done thing.
Right.
But that's where I'm at on this fight. I want to see this be a relevant fight. If Pacquiao wins, we'll see a rematch, I do believe.
Yeah, well, you remember, and like you said, buddy, we've been around a long time, and I've seen what I consider all the major fights in the golden ages here, and everything has a sub-story. I can still see Ollie Holmes in 1980 at Caesars, 25,000 people there. I can still see Holmes waving to the referee to stop the fight. I can see 2 years later when it was the Great White Hope with Cooney versus Holmes, and Cooney fought good for a little while, but the boxing was at an apex there. Then you saw Hearn Tagler, which was probably the greatest 12 minutes of boxing we'll ever see. It was just a fight. Like I said, this is a little different. You have one fighter fighting for his legacy, and make no mistake about this, my friend, Pacquiao is fighting for a country. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, the money from the country, can you even break it down what the money you're seeing from the Hispanic population is on this fight, Jimmy?
Well, it's very simple. From day one, it's been a 5-to-1 ratio as far as ticket count, and it's still that way. Like every other fight, in some degree, Brad, when this fight was first announced, it was an absolute stampede for the first 7 days, all Pacquiao money, going from a -250 favorite to a -$1.70 favorite. Then these fights would usually just lay there until like a week before the fight. But in this case, it's been 2.5 months. There's been steady money every day, which will lead to like, wow, this will be the greatest handle we've ever had on a fight. But the Mayweather money showed a little early this year. Mm. It used to be with all the Mayweather, they'd wait till the last day to get the best price. There's some people who think they're getting a bargain, laying $1.70 or $1.80. The disparity between the money on both sides now is really, really getting closer, because a lot of Mayweather money showed a lot earlier. And come Saturday, it'll still be the same thing. There'll be all the $5 to $100 tickets will be on Pacquiao. Brad, quickly, when people come to the Connor, and I've seen it a million times at the South Point in the last few weeks, they'll just walk up to the window and say, give me Pacquiao. They don't know, some don't even know what the odds mean. Some don't even ask what the odds are. They want their guy, Pacquiao. It just shows you the interest in this fight.
Yeah. One last question. Spurs-Clippers, is it moving the needle at all? The rest of the playoffs don't do anything for me at all, but I got to tell you, Jimmy, I'm captivated, and I think the country is really that have followed the NBA playoffs. The Spurs-Clippers are doing something. Is it moving the needle at all in Vegas?
Yes, it's surely the biggest bet game of the day. And as a bookmaker, I'm sad to see these 4-0 routes only because the more games, the better for a bookmaker.
Yeah.
But so far, this is the most compelling thing. And yes, I'll tell you what's a little interesting. All the money early on to win the series was all on the San Antonio Spurs. But then the first couple of games, all the straight money came in on the Clippers, which shows you there's a two-sided coin to this fight. But to answer your question quickly, yes, it's the series so far that's drawing the most attention. And obviously, we got maybe two more games to go.
What a great time for you up there. Stay well, my friend.
Yeah.
Appreciate the visit.
All right, buddy.
You got this, Jimmy Vaccaro, for a couple of minutes. Four-decade Vegas bookmaker. Always good to have Jimmy on South Point Casino and Resort. So on the other side, I want to get into the Billy Donovan story. It's just been breaking this morning, and I'll get back into the draft as well. We'll hear from Charles Davis. Jake Plummer just off a plane in Denver. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes. I want to take a minute, though, to talk about Santan Ford here. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Last night, yesterday afternoon, I stopped by Santan Ford to visit with General Manager Tim Hovick, and he was buried. He's like, hey, can we catch up for a beer later on? We met up over at Marley's. We hung out, sat at the table. He had a new employee that was meeting him there, too, somebody in his front office. And he introduced me to him, and we sat and we visited for, I don't know, half hour. We watched the games, and he asked me how things are going here and what we're all about and what we're doing. And then Tim jumped in. He's like, hey, Brad's got this, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and he's doing this, and it's terrific, and we love our partnership, and so on and so forth. And I have to tell you, when you have people like in my place where I first started this 3 years ago, and I said, Tim, I'm going to go do this. I'm walking away from Channel 3. I'm done with traditional radio. It's all going digital. It's where it's going. Everything is going right here to your phone. He said, wherever you go, whatever you're about, I'm with you. And 3 years later, that's where we are. And it's the same thing for you. Okay. I've had people that I've sent over to Santan Ford. I've had friends that have called me that have said, who do I talk to over there? And they tell me the same thing. They were terrific. They are great. Not were, are, present tense. So when they've had issues with their vehicles, because there are issues with vehicles, and they take it in to see John Bernath over at the service department, and they get things handled right. That's at Santan Ford. That's what you want as part of your team. Okay, you have people that do your taxes. You have people that do things in your life. You need to have that relationship with somebody for your automobile. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sean Miller and Florida. Is there a flirtation there, or is it another Miller? We'll talk about that on the other side, plus the NFL draft, the latest on that front, and then Jake Plummer. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Jake Plummer just got off the plane in Denver. He's going to join us here in about 15 minutes. sports360az.com. Brad Sussmat with you. We partner with AZ Central Sports. NFL Draft. You're going over to the Cardinals tonight, E? Is that the...
I am. Yep.
So...
it's always exciting to be over there on draft night just because there's just a good buzz. Just there's intrigue.
I can go to a bar and get
suspense.
A good buzz.
You could.
I can go to my backyard and get a good buzz.
It'd probably have more fun hanging out at a sports bar than you would at the Cardinals. Me and a bunch of hacks, but...
what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I usually go. I may go tonight.
I'll list you as questionable.
They've got a... Let me think. Who's always questionable? Kevin Johnson with a hamstring? I'm Kevin Johnson in it tonight. So the drafts is, it's fine. If I watch it, I'll watch the NFL Network. I won't even mess with ESPN. ESPN just drives me. It's just pandering to the lowest form other than, you know, when Schefter and Mortensen break down some stuff, but beyond that, it's just, please go away. Just, I've had enough of you guys. The Billy Donovan story, I'll get back to the draft in a minute. The big story today, and it's going to get lost in the shuffle, and it shouldn't. Billy Donovan is one of the biggest names in college basketball coaching. He won a couple of titles. He went to four straight Elite Eights. He made $4 million annually. And today he said, I'm getting out of the college game to go to the NBA where I've got to deal with babies who are getting paid big jack. You know, college basketball is not as sure and sturdy as it once was. It's not the end-all of end-alls. I mean, you look at Brad Stevens going from Butler and the job that he took over with Boston, which they weren't very good. And now Billy Donovan, who takes off. Billy Donovan is not even 50 yet. Brad Stevens, not even 50 yet. And it used to be that these guys would stick around in the college game because the NBA would chew them up and spit them out. But now it's the college game that's doing it. Billy Donovan's four Final Fours is also surpassed only by Adolph Rupp. So think about that, what Billy Donovan has been able to do. He had a 19-year career at Florida that was longer than guys like Joe B. Hall, Rick Pitino, Tubby Smith, John Calipari, Nolan Richardson at Arkansas. I mean, he'd been there a long, long time. He was getting paid $4 million to be there. But look at the history when I get questions today about, do you think Sean Miller is going to be pursued by Florida, or would Sean Miller look that way? My answer is not that Miller, Archie Miller. Archie Miller makes the most sense to me. The athletic director there, Jeremy Foley, he just hired McIlwain to be their football coach, young up-and-coming coach, in terms of coaching years. Not the young, not young, young, but a guy like Archie Miller, who's only, what, he's in his mid-30s, I believe. I think he's like 36 or 37. He's taken Dayton five games in the last 2 years in the NCAA tournament, and they were the 11th seed both times. He is probably the leading hot name of candidates under the age of 40. And a job like Florida is one of those jobs that you go after. So I don't see, I'm getting these questions about, is Sean going to go that way? First of all, I don't know. I can't see where Florida, based on what they've done in the past, one of their top players just left. So I would, if I'm U of A fan, I'm not all that worked up today about Florida. And Sean's got a pretty good gig down there. Yeah, he's lost some players, but he's got a terrific class coming back in. I think Billy Donovan fell behind some guys. They don't have, from my understanding, Florida doesn't have the best facilities down there. That's a great job. And a guy like, and this will have ramifications. I was having dinner last night with somebody, a dad whose son is going to be one of the more highly recruited players ever to come out of Arizona. And we were sitting talking last night about the offers that this young man has already been getting. And I had to point out to him, you know, these coaches, they'll sell you anything. They'll tell you anything you want to hear, and they're gone a year later. So just because somebody's falling in love with you today doesn't mean jack, because they're going to be gone. And the worst part about it, a kid that commits to Florida, he's screwed now because he's signed and the coach just left on him. You're done. All right, back to the draft tonight. If, in fact, the number two pick is sitting there and Tennessee decides to hold on to the pick, how far does Marcus Mariota slide? No, I mean, this Ryan Leaf stuff, I don't buy it. Ryan Leaf, this, because I'm on the Jameis Winston mind. The Marcus Mariota stuff of teams trying to trade up and get him, if Cleveland trades both of their first-round picks to get Mariota, it shows that anybody who's crazy can run an NFL franchise. That would be two first-round picks in back-to-back years. That shows you have no clue what you're doing. None. And you could say, well, they're admitting their mistake on Johnny Manziel. They're moving on. You talk about mortgaging a franchise, you're going to take the same position 2 years in a row, and you're going to give up an extra pick to do it? That's why when the Cardinals are sitting there drafting 24 tonight, if they traded the pick to get Adrian Peterson, I would not be upset. I would not sit here and say, are they drunk? Have they lost their minds? You could go get Melvin Gordon, and that's fine. You're not going to get Todd Gurley from the way it sounds. Am I wrong on that, E? I mean, today, from everything that you're seeing, everything that we're both hearing, he's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone.
He's going to be gone. So if the Vikings decide that they want to trade Adrian Peterson, and the Cardinals, today will be the end of the Adrian Peterson sweepstakes, I got to believe. If he slips by and the day is done and they introduce their draft pick, and that's the way it works out, so be it. We'll get it behind us. Charles Davis, one of the best in the business from the NFL Network, with us earlier. I talked to him about the Cardinals and the 2015 NFL draft class involving running backs and who would make the most sense. You are Steve Keim. You're sitting there on the clock, and you have Gurley and Gordon both there at 24, although I think that might be a bit of a reach the way things are starting. What direction would Charles Davis go?
By now, I think you know I've got a man crush on Gurley.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that he is an absolute force as a running back. I know he's coming off the knee. I know the accomplishments of Gordon, and I respect the heck out of them. I think he got better every year. Gordon I liken to an NBA player who figures out each and every year what his game is missing and spends the summer taking care of that. That's how Kobe did it. You know, every summer there was something he said, okay, I've got to add this to my arsenal. Jordan did that. All those guys, and they came back the next year, and that was taken care of. That's how I think Gordon went through his career at Wisconsin. He started out as a gimmick guy, became more involved in the offense his second year. His last year, he was full scale, could catch the ball, run the ball, protect the passer, the whole deal. But I think Todd Gurley's as close to Adrian Peterson coming out as we've had. But I will tell you, I don't believe he's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
So take that for what it's worth. But if you're not Adrian Peterson, but you're close to that, I think you're a pretty good player.
No, it's really interesting, Charles, because you know I've had fans that have said, you know, Brad, the Cardinals are going to get Adrian Peterson. Well, I don't know that. I don't believe as we're sitting here today. And yeah, it would be exciting to see that. So who's the closest thing? And you hear more and more about Gurley. But I tell you, there's some running backs a little bit down the line there.
Yeah.
When I talk over at the Cardinals and those folks, they may be looking at some people a little bit later than at running back in the 24th pick.
It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, as much as I'm a huge running back guy, I'm also a product of when I grew up. Ball was stuck in a running back's chest 20, 25 times a game, and the runner was celebrated, and we went after them high in the draft, and that's how we ran offense. Well, NFL teams threw the ball 68% of the time last year. You know, somewhere my grandfather's just spinning in his grave, like, what is this game that you're playing? This is not what I know. So that's a different deal. So that means the running back, as we keep saying, devalued, although we all know their value is really high for those teams that make the playoffs and make Super Bowl runs. But truthfully, that we don't hand it to them the way we did before. So we say, hey, can we get the same type of value later? And the answer is yes. It's a much deeper running back class. So let's go beyond those top two. Jay Ajayi, Boise State. I keep hearing things about his knee. They said there was a medical retest over the weekend. Turned out that report was erroneous. He wasn't even there.
Mm.
But I've heard stuff about his knee all along in this process. So teams already either know about it and have made their decision about whether he's on their board or off their board, but he's a heck of a football player. Amir Abdullah, Nebraska.
They like him out here.
Listen, and what's not to like, he's a do-it-all type of a running back. Very short, compact, well-built guy who can catch the ball. T.J. Yeldon from Alabama. People may be mixed on, but I feel like he is moving up in stock. Ran in the mid-4.4s at his pro day. I think he's one of those guys that's had to make a decision, like a Le'Veon Bell. Do I play bigger and be a tackle breaker, or do I play leaner, still break tackles, but maybe make people miss a little bit more? Well, when did Le'Veon Bell really have his best year in Pittsburgh? Looked pretty lean last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, that was more his style. That's another guy to keep an eye on.
Charles Davis there with us on the NFL draft and things around the draft. All right, on the other side, Jake Plummer will join us just off a plane in Denver. We'll get last-minute thoughts from Jake Plummer as we continue on. A myriad of guests today on NFL Draft Day. Sports 360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content on Sports 360, AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Now, the Brad Sussmat Show. Broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Off we go into hour number two. Thanks for being with us. Heard from Brock Huard, Charles Davis, Todd Graham, Bertrand Barry. We've been to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro here in hour number two. Let's get it started with Jake Plummer, just off a plane in Denver. ASU legendary quarterback, former Cards Broncos quarterback, Pac-12 Network analyst. Are you taking up hockey, by the way? Somebody said you're taking up hockey.
Well, I don't know if I'm taking it up, but I put the skates on last night and played hockey for the first time in my life. And I had a blast. I hit the ice quite a few times, but 5 shots on goal, no goals scored. You know, Brad, it's never too late to learn a new sport, and I want to encourage kids to play them all. I got to try all of them myself, so that's one I hadn't tried. So I could see myself playing hockey. It was a lot of fun.
Really? Goalie? forward? What was your position? You're not a defenseman. You didn't drop gloves and go after guys, did you? I mean, I could see you doing
that. I was just trying to stay up. I was just trying to stay on my feet, not fall. Whether I was the forward or defenseman or wing, I don't know. I was just all over the place. But a group of guys were nice enough to let me play. Isaiah Mustafa, he's a big hockey guy now, so he was happy. He was giddy. He had one of his buddies out there on the ice. And I had a fun time. I could see myself, you know, one of these days going and playing more hockey. All sports are fun, and that one was definitely a fun one, like basketball on ice. So
No. And you know ASU has got a hockey team now. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Isaiah has met the players, the coach, had a real sweet hockey jersey with the pitchforks on it. And, you know, he's been trying to convince me to get into the greatest game ever. And I played it last night. I can see why people feel that way. It's got a very, hypnotic flow to it. You know, you're skating around and moving, and you never guard the same guy twice. You just kind of move. And it was cool. We'll see how that goes if I play again. I'm pretty sore today.
Hypnotic flow, yeah. Hypnotic when you get checked into a board and you don't see it coming, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not playing that high level. This is just pickup hockey, so, you know, we don't do that kind of sort of thing to each other in pickup.
Yeah. Where was this? Where were you playing last night?
And get down in L.A. Yeah, down in L.A. at Valley View Ice or Panorama Ice or someplace. I don't know. Riding around with Isaiah and put on all the gear and had a good time doing
That's great. That's great. All right, so you're Tampa Bay. You're picking first. Who do you take today?
I take Jameis Winston, so that's what I would do.
You're number two. You're Tennessee. Who do you take today?
I would take Marcus Mariota.
Is it close?
Yeah, I think it's real close. Those could easily be flopped either way. I mean, I would have to have sat in the room with both those kids, got a feel for kind of people they are and what kind of how they affect people when they're around. You can sense that when you get them in your building. If they have the ability to make the secretary up front feel like she's someone important, or they walk right by them and ignore people that are part of the whole club, not just the important people. So, you know, there's a lot to learn by just being around those guys, but I think both of them have really good qualities that a quarterback needs, and I think that both of them are going to be successful in their own time when it happens. But I think either way, you don't make a bad mistake taking either one of those guys first.
Jake Plummer with us for a couple of minutes. If you were to sit alone with Marcus Mariota, we see Gruden do his thing. We've seen everybody try to copy that. But if you're just sitting there one-on-one with him, what would you want to know about him? You watch the tape, but what would you want to know about him if you're in a position of authority?
You know, I'd like to find out, times when Oregon was struggling, how he handled that, what he did, to keep his teammates focused and all driving towards the same thing. And, they had a lot of success. So, I mean, he hasn't really faced much adversity in his career. He played through some injuries and they lost some games, thought they probably shouldn't have lost. But, how did he react after that? How was he? What did he do to, make sure the guys were back in action and getting back on the horse and get going? I mean, there's a lot you could ask him. Mainly, like I said, is I want to know, more from people around him, bystanders that he, interacts with day to day, what kind of person he is. Because, I think today's day and age, the QB has to transcend the locker room, the organization, and the city, and not do it in a pre-programmed robotic way that someone's taught you how to interact with people, but are you really a genuinely good guy that can rally guys and you believe in each other and you never give up? And we know they're both competitors. They're both highly talented athletes. But really, how do they affect the people around them? Because a QB that's successful has to have the guys around him want to play even harder and go get it for that guy. And I know firsthand, because I wasn't the most talented in the world, but I knew my guys were playing hard for me because they respected me. And, you want to try to find that guy that can just get the guys to play harder.
What would you ask Jameis Winston if you're one-on-one today?
I just want to ask him, or probably advise him to just be himself. I mean, he's a young kid. He's made some bad mistakes. I don't know any other kid out there that hasn't. I think, from talking to some people around the industry, he's kind of been coached up on how to talk and answer questions so much so that I'd like to just see the real guy come out. And I think that's his special traits. He's just athlete that, you know, sometimes, you know, is flamboyant and talks a lot and, you know, can motivate his guys that way. I would think back to that first video I saw of him, or not video, but time at FSU's locker room when they won the national title, and he was up as a freshman in front of that whole team, you know, talking to them and getting them ready. And, you know, some guys might say that's hot air and that's all talk, but I mean, the kid went out there and got after it and put down a great game and played and won a national title, backed up his talk. So, you know, that kid's got to be himself. Got to get into a position where he can have not a leash around his, you know, around him, keeping it on a short leash, but let him be who he is. And who he is a real special player that can, like I mentioned earlier, affect an entire ball club and make them want to play harder. We saw that last year. He didn't play so well in the first half of games, but something about him keeps his teammates believing, and he believes in himself. He'd come back in the second half, and when it mattered, everyone wants to talk about playing the perfect game, but when it does, that doesn't matter. When it matters, he stepped up, and that's what I want to see in a QB, and I've seen that from him. That's why I say he's my first pick. But either way, both those kids are amazing.
Talking quarterbacks, talking about the draft, Jake Plummer draft us tonight. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with AZ Central Sports. Always good to have Jake on board. Let's you and I go back here for a minute to give people kind of a behind the curtain. So Jake gets drafted, and I'm at the Biltmore. You and I had talked, and your representatives had talked and said, it's fine, Brad, come over here at the Biltmore. And your draft day, you actually took a nap.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the other room. I think you were asleep when the draft was, when you were announced as taken, or maybe it was Juan. It was Juan, yourself, and Keith, if I remember right. Right?
Uh-huh. I was asleep. You're right. I was getting this shut eye because it's dragging on.
Dead flat out in the room next to me, Jake Plummer is asleep on NFL draft day. And so then you wake up and it's all over with. Now you see this where they're putting the draft in Chicago. There's some criticism towards Winston and Mariota for not being there tonight. I actually think the way that you went about it years and years ago, you don't need to be in New York for all that stuff. I'm fine with those guys not being there tonight. Are you?
I'm totally fine with that, and I think the guys that are upset with them are the guys that like to see themselves in the mirror every morning and then would like to walk around with mirrors reflecting every viewpoint of their face and their body, and also a little teleprompter letting everybody know what they've accomplished and where they accomplished it. You know, to be mad at those kids for not wanting to be at a big dog and pony show is ridiculous. You know, I know Michael Irvin was one of the guys that was down on those two for not being there, saying they're big timing the NFL. That's a bunch of bullarchy, man. I mean, these kids want to be with their family and friends, and that's their choice. There's no contract signed yet. There's nothing that says they have to be there in Chicago. And personally, I applaud them for doing that. Go back to be around and surrounded by the people you love the most. That's what I was. I had all my friends and family there. You know, I was taking a nap because we'd had a lot of fun the night
yes,
before.
You did.
We were having fun. We were celebrating and getting ready to even celebrate even more. A humongous moment in my life to be drafted into the NFL, and it's their right to do what they want. No Hall of Famer has a right to curse them or get mad at them for not wanting to be at really. I think a waste of your time to be sitting there in Chicago in a back room waiting for your name and number to be called. I mean, let these kids do it how they want, and I applaud Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota for what I believe is doing the right thing, being with the people that are going to be there for you when you need them the most once you start your career.
Okay, in Denver today, if the Broncos in the next 2 days take a quarterback before day three, You're Brock Osweiler, you're not feeling pretty good. And I have a lot of Sun Devil fans that have asked, okay, what's going on with Brock up there? I think you and I talked this last, I think it was toward the end of the season, about Brock's situation in Denver. You're up there. What is your read on Brock Osweiler's future in Denver?
I think it's really bright. I think that the fact that Peyton came back, you know, I don't know, Peyton might play five more years, but at some point, you know, you got to evolve as a team and as an offense. And, you know, I think that Peyton's won a lot of games, are going to win more games, and he's going to continue to win. But the system that Kubiak runs and the athletic ability and the skill set that Brock Osweiler has, I think that he won't be upset if they draft some kid late in third, fourth round, whatever it is. You got to have bodies. You got to have guys that are there just in case something doesn't pan out. But I believe Brock has all the skills you need to run that offense, just from my experience running it. And he'd be a fool to try to be upset or try to go somewhere else. But I think that there's going to be a time, whether it's this year, Peyton is getting old. You know, everyone's one hit away from being done or injured for a game or two. You just got to continue to get better and hope that he gets a chance. And I don't want Peyton to get hurt, but if it happens, I know he'll be ready. And if it's not this year, then I know I believe that they got to move in some direction where, you know, they either make him let him go and start for another team or give him the reins and let him take over. And I think he'll be very, very capable of taking that offense and doing what he needs to do with it.
Mayweather or Pacquiao?
Pacquiao.
Yeah? Are you into it?
I wasn't, but I had Jimmy Vaccaro on my podcast last week and talking to him, and then I started just thinking, I haven't watched a great fight in a long time, and I think this is going to be a great fight. I think they're going to battle it out. I did read something else from Mike Tyson I thought was great. He's like, he thought it was ridiculous. These guys are shaking hands, and they're friends, and Mike Tyson was a ruthless boxer that wanted to kill you, and he's in the ring, and these guys are friends. It's like, I don't know how you're friends, and then you go punch each other in the face, but I think both fighters are good fighters. I'm going to be excited. Maybe watch it. I don't know if I'll get the pay-per-view, but I'll be paying attention to see who wins. And it's boxing. It's kind of the last straw. There's no real big-name boxers in America after Mayweather, and this is kind of might be one of the last hurrahs for a while before there's another fight of this much interest.
Stay off the ice, okay? I mean, I'd like to have you. I mean, come on. Your hips are beat up.
Exactly, though, Brad. It's low impact. You're gliding.
Get out of here. You know what? I'm going to save this little clip of it's low impact because you're going to give me some time down the road. Yeah, things got a little out of control, and some guy made a run at me. I mean, come on. Are you hearing yourself?
Well, you know what? If I learned to skate, and that's the main thing, I could skate pretty well for only skating a few times in my life. And I did pretty good last night. I mean, I got five shots on goal, and I fell a bunch, but, and I got back up and cruising. If I can get to skating, then I don't care if there's guys that want to come at me. I like contact. I'll be all right with that.
No, you had a lot of contact with the Cardinals. I know that. It wasn't good contact, but it was contact. All right, get out of here. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Brad. You take care, man.
See ya. Jake Plummer. You never know. Hockey. Eric, did we ever think of Jake as a hockey player? He's not the enforcer.
It doesn't surprise me.
I mean, Paul Bissonnette on the ice.
It'll be the fall, and we'll try to track Jake down, and he's like, I'm out curling, or he'll have some, I'm out bungee jumping or doing something.
That's fine.
That's just the way he is. I mean, that hockey. Great Ando. What were you doing on draft day? I was asleep.
It was funny.
I was taking a nap.
So Lee Steinberg and David Dunn, when they were partners, they weren't suing each other. I hosted a show with Lee way back in the day, and I had just been here, a couple of years, and Lee ends up getting the representation to Jake, and he ended up representing, I think the late Bruce Snyder helped arrange all this with Juan and Keith Poole and Jake, and Lee calls me and says, hey, we're going to be at the Biltmore, and you can come over there and have the exclusive. Well, I'm doing radio at the time, I'm not even doing TV, so I don't go to the Cardinals. I'm sitting at the Biltmore, and there was a good time going on at the Biltmore. It was a good time. And Jake finally is like, I think I'm going to go take a nap. So the phone rings. It's the Cardinals, and Jake's out, gone, cold, in the next room. It was very funny.
Very Jake.
Sports360AZ.com. You're not going to get insight like that anywhere else. I'm just telling you. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Stay with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.